Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Molly and Hawn.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you
next
very
question.
Much.
Dave Wannstedt.
Molly and Hawn, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. It is always a joy to talk to Coach Wannstedt, and it is always a privilege when he joins us in studio.
I love it.
As
you
he
know,
does every week.
Morning,
hey, good morning.
You know what? This is, I'm all in here. Chicago, I'm all in on Wednesday night, Chicago. That's my Chicago night on TV.
Yeah.
I'm not a big TV
and
guy.
You had a brush with greatness outside, or a celebrity.
I come walking by the Apple store in Chicago. Fire is filming. Derek Hosta, one of the producers, mm-hmm. the top guy. He's there, so we start talking, and the girls are filming a scene, so I get a picture. I got to get in Molly's. You know Molly's, the bar?
Yeah. I know Molly's.
Yeah, I'm going to
house.
Molly's. It's not Molly's house. No, it's Molly's. M-O, okay?
So you're going to the bar?
I'm going to get in that scene.
Are you really going to do
it? We were talking about it. He asked me about
hysterical.
It.
And you say the girls on the show. The paramedics. So these are people who are starring in the show.
Oh, I saw Cap.
Take your picture.
I did.
You need to tweet it.
I'm going to.
You need to get that out there.
Send it to Brian Harlan. Get him to put it on.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
it was fun, though. But
that's fun. It's a good
no,
show.
No, we're back to it. I figured this would get everybody in the mood.
Yeah,
walking the streets of Chicago.
You got Monsters of Midway.
Well, Monster Midway.
Chicago PD. There's Chicago Med. There's Chicago Fire and Chicago NFL.
Yeah, there's the Monsters of the Midway right here, sitting right here. It's time. This will be a good one. I'm looking forward to it.
It's Wednesday night, all the shows, and they're doing like a crossover episode this weekend.
All
right?
Three of them together.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 3-hour extravaganza.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Keep an eye on this week's show. I'm going to get a little birdie told me there's something going on at Soldier Field.
Oh, really?
Here we go. Little birdie told me.
Huh.
For all you Chicago Fire fans.
They have the paramedics they have them rushed to a key mix.
What has happened to our guys gone Hollywood?
Looking for Tim. They're down there looking for Timmy LaFever, huh, Mike? Timmy's the best.
Beautiful. He is. He's a great man.
Unbelievable guy.
So, Dave, watched the game last night, and going into that game, I thought we would find out if the Lions were for real or not, and they still are the Lions. They still find a way to lose a close game. But they were better than I thought they'd be, and they had a lead. And it was shocking to see how bad some of these Packer receivers were. And, you know, when you get an interception that ricochets off a guy's face mask, you got to wonder whether or not you got the right guy on the field. And apparently – Aaron Rodgers wondered as well, and he ran over and insisted they bring in Alan.
Lashard.
What's his name? Alan? Is it Lashard? It's. I just had it up a minute ago.
We were just talking about him. Yes.
Yes. So listen, when you look at something like that, and when you see Rodgers overcome, they lost the turnover battle 3-0 and won the game, and obviously a lot of that. And the Lions are kicking field goals, and at one point they get down to the 2-yard line and they're kicking field goals, but they kicked some 50-yard field goals, right? That guy doesn't miss field goals. But how do you look at the NFC North now? Do we think differently about Green Bay for winning at home after losing as many games in a row as they had to Matthew Stafford, or do we think that
you know what? That I know you're the Pope or the Godfather of this show, but I'm going to disagree with you. I think the Lions are a better football team.
Mm-hmm.
They're a better team than what they've been the last few
yes.
years. And they very easily could have won that game. And but, you know, let's put it aside. Green Bay find a way to win it and overcome three turnovers, which you said is unheard of, Mike.
Oh, crazy.
Unheard of. Crazy. But the thing that, and I talked about this on my NFL show Sunday, the thing that's impressed me about the Packers, it's, you know, Matt LaFleur was hired to get Aaron Rodgers squared away and whatever he was going to do with the offense, who knows. But you know what? How they're winning games, running the ball more consistently,
right,
and playing defense.
Yeah, still works.
That defense.
Still in style.
What'd they force? Five field goals last
night.
I mean, if they give up one touchdown, they forced five field goals. Green Bay's defense is a lot better. Their football team is better. I mean, they're balanced now. You know, they're a real team. It's not a one-man show anymore.
Dave, for that formula to work with the Bears, their offensive line has to function. And yesterday, Kyle Long goes on injured reserve. Oh. I know you know Howie. I know you know Kyle. How much does that hurt this team?
Well, obviously, the disappointing thing about that was that, you know, we were up at training camp up there this year, and I spent some time after talking to Kyle, and he was as excited as he's ever been because he was in better shape. He was healthy. He didn't spend the whole offseason rehabbing, and his mind was ready to go. So that's what's really disappointing, because you know the guy's got talent to really help him, and he was into it, and everything, all the stars were aligned coming out of training camp, and now here we sit. Very, very disappointing. If he was hurt and not playing that good, obviously you'll put somebody in there that'll get the similar type of performance because he was hurt.
When that kind of thing happens, when you're talking about guys that get hurt, you know, we look at Akiem Hicks, and you talked about last week about how good he was and how dominant he was. We just talked to Eddie Jackson, and Eddie says that, we hope we get him back for the end of the year of the playoffs.
Right.
And I don't think it's a surprise that he's going to miss that kind of time, but it seems like they've been just sort of unwilling to admit it.
Sure. And that's, I mean, yeah. I mean, I would hope they're not doing it, because I guarantee you that Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints, they aren't preparing for Akiem Hicks.
No.
You know, but optimistically, the Bears are saying, let's hold out hope. You know what I mean? Crazy things happen, and if we can get them back, we get into a playoff run. There's a lot of football left to be played that, yeah, obviously he would make a big impact.
Mitch is back, and he has to be the quarterback that he, you know, is comfortable being. It means running the football.
Absolutely.
If he's back, though, Dave, do you expect him to have limitations? Do you expect maybe the game plan to reflect his limitations?
I don't know. You know, it was the opposite shoulder. I've had quarterbacks that have had the same injury, and it's the opposite shoulder, so it's not going to really affect them throwing. And what degree of a sprain is it? That's the real key. You know what I mean? Is it one, two, three? How severe? Is it mild? You know, mentally, it might, but, you know, I think that Mitch is going to do whatever he has to do to win this game. I think he'll run if he has to run. And if he re-injures it, I think in his mind, hey, I'll re-injure this thing, but I'm going to do what I have to do to win this football game. And I mean, because that's his style. He can't sit in the back in the pocket and not move, I don't think. I mean, and be effective.
How have the New Orleans Saints been able to replace a quarterback as dynamic and important as Drew Brees is in their scheme? And, you know, obviously they had a pretty good backup, but they didn't really explode for points in their most recent win. Are they just kind of biding time at this point, or are they?
You know what? They are playing. That's a good, you know, now keep in mind, Teddy Bridgewater's got a lot of experience.
Sure.
We know that from Minnesota and talent, and he will run. I mean, you know, he's probably, you know, coming off that knee, he can run and move around like Mitch can. But when I look at their passing games, and you look at Michael Thomas and their receivers, you know, I think they've been a little bit conservative to a degree. You know, they're not throwing the ball down the field like they did with Drew Brees. So I think they're doing a good job. They're doing what he does best. And you look at his completion percentage, it's up close to 70%, high 60s, I believe. You know, so he's completing the balls. And, you know, it's Alvin Kamara really was hurt last week. He wasn't a factor.
Right.
And he's really the guy that makes that offense go from a run standpoint receiving. So if he's full speed, I think it'll make a big difference.
They also have the Pope on their side.
They got the. You know what? I said this last night. Let me make a point on that. You know, the Pope is tweeting, "Go Saints" or whatever. God bless him.
He said we have some great saints. He's talking about the saints.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. I'm Catholic, right?
Okay. Yes. And I am too.
We talked about this. I know you go to Mass more than I do. No, I
used, you forced
I
used me to. Go to
I did. I made you feel guilty, I said this yesterday. Someone asked me about it, and I said they got nothing on the Bears. Virginia McCaskey, you know, on plane rides to and from games, she has her rosary with her. In the press box, she has her rosary with her. She used to when I was coaching here. So trust me, that's a push, right? If you're comparing quarterbacks and you want to compare defenses.
That's a push.
I'm rolling with the Pope on that one. No offense to Virginia.
Well, you know what? I don't know.
I think the world of her.
Okay.
But he's got to be the finest Catholic in the world, doesn't he? Since he's...
I would hope so, but I know...
He's got a lot going for him.
Virginia McCaskey's right. She's pretty close.
Our conversation with Dave Wansett is brought to you by Hollywood Casino.
Is she all-knowing on all matters of the church? We'll discuss it next. It's Mully and Haw. We've got Coach Wansett for another segment on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dave Wansted, hanging out with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. It is always a joy when Coach Wansted visits with us. And Dave, we were talking during the break about the various, David calls it the year of the backup quarterback. And if that's the case, then Teddy Bridgewater is the closest thing to, I don't know, Nick Foles that we've seen this year.
The ideal.
He's the guy, right?
And
he stands alone in a certain amount of way. I mean, listen, they're doing great down in Carolina. Don't get me wrong. And we're seeing Jaguars winning some games. I mean, extraordinary, though.
And you know, he's been there in the big games, too. That's what I like about him. I mean, this game, you know, coming up here and facing the Bears defense in Chicago, you know, that's not going to be too big for this guy. I mean, the Bears are going to get after him. My point is, his preparation is not going to be like Minshew would be or Kyle Allen. You know what I mean?
It's home,
you know, you're watching this Bears defense on film. It can be intimidating. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could really put fear into a quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater, you know, he's been there kind of thing, you know, so I think that has a lot to do with quarterback play, when you get a guy that's your backup, that's been there and done it and had success.
First round draft pick.
Yeah. And he went to a Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, he's been to a Pro Bowl. So he's got the pedigree to keep winning.
Dave, yet another backup quarterback who might factor into the game plan for the Saints, Taysom Hill.
Oh,
what do you expect him to, what role will he play this weekend?
You know, that's a very good point, because Taysom Hill, when he comes into the game, and I'm sure our listeners have seen him, he's the guy that comes in and they run the ball probably 80% of the time when he's in there. Out of the Wildcat. It's all Wildcat stuff. He lines up back there at the quarterback position, but he's running it. And I used the Wildcat extensively with Ricky Williams at Miami. In fact, I used it the minute our quarterback threw two incompletions. I said I had enough of that Wildcat. And I did it a lot, as you guys know, at Pittsburgh with LeSean McCoy and Deion Lewis. So, and what happens is, we don't have that board in there. Our man, our boss, Mitch Rosen, hasn't put the chalkboard up yet.
I'd
draw it up. But what happens with the Wildcat is you get an extra blocker. In other words, you know, the guy that normally would be the blocker is now your quarterback. Think of it in terms of that. And your quarterback is not a factor. So you get one extra blocker. But now, rather than having a quarterback run the ball, you're having a legitimate running back. You know, and this guy can make plays running the ball. He's tough as nails. He's a gunner on their special teams. You know, he plays every position. They said they actually worked him some at defense at one point. So this is a tough guy. And here's the point that I want to make, just cutting through it. This is a whole package that Chuck Pagano and the defensive coaches got to get ready for. Because generally, they'll have a power play. They'll have a sweep. They will have a pass. So if you overcommit to the run, he's capable of throwing it. So you gotta defend. It's like a little package in itself, and it takes away practice time, you know, as much as anything, and whether they use it or not. But the Bears only have so many plays that they're going to work in a week. This is going to take a little block of that.
So let's talk about that for a second. It seems like, Dave, obviously the rules are such in the CBA that the players have to have an extended period of time. So the bye week isn't like a back to training camp period like it used to be in the old days. But the coaches also took 4 days off, which I thought was weird. I just thought it was strange that the coaches normally, I mean, didn't you guys kind of grind and?
Oh yeah,
well,
yeah.
You ever take 4 days off in a row? Yeah.
Not in a season, right?
No. In a year,
it's different. Now you know what? I was doing a Big Ten show last week, and Allen Robinson was down there doing something for Penn State. You know, he went to Penn State, and him and I were sitting down in the green room. I was getting ready to do my show, and he was just finishing up, and we were talking. And he was, I think this might have been Tuesday, and he was getting ready to go. You know what I mean? He was done basically for the week. And we used to give him, if they were lucky, we'd give him the weekend off, you know? And the coaches, I'd give the coaches a weekend off. And that's pretty standard, unless you're in a dire situation. And then, you know, I don't know. Every coach does it differently. I'm from the Jimmy Johnson school where, hey, I hire you to do a job. If you got to be here till 1 a.m, you be here till 1 a.m. and do it. If you're done at 9 o'clock at night, then you're done at 9 o'clock at night. I'm not sitting there seeing whose lights on and whose lights off. You hire guys, you trust them. They're all accountable. They don't get the job done, you got to get somebody else.
You ever use a quarterback on special teams?
Did I use a quarterback? God, I probably wanted to on kickoff a bunch. that's a good one. I'm going to think about that.
Think about that one.
A wedge buster. Yeah, yeah.
Because Taysom Hill is an athlete that you use in different ways. Didn't Harbaugh at one point?
Jim would do it and could do it effectively. He wouldn't be one you'd put back there because you were mad because he threw an interception.
Dolphins used to have a guy way back in the day, Jim Jensen. Didn't he cover kicks?
Yeah.
Oh, Jim Jensen did it all. Yeah, I got to think about that. God, you know what? All the quarterbacks. I had 6 years here at the Bears, 6 different quarterbacks. I've definitely probably stuck one on as a wedge.
When you're not running into actresses or dealing with Bears, you know, wide receivers, maybe you could look up.
I'm on that.
When you're not reading scripts.
You know what? I'm on that though. That's a great question for me, and I'm going to have an answer for you.
When we talk about this game, and I I'm not going to sit here and tell you the significance of the game, but the fact is, you fall to 500. The danger is with Green Bay getting too far ahead of you because you lost to them at home. So that's a bad loss when you start. I know you get them again later in the year and all that stuff, but it's up there, and there are issues that come into play. How crucial is a game like this for the Bears coming off a bad performance, albeit a couple weeks ago?
Well, it's important to get back on track. I mean, obviously, you know, the old – and we've, you know – I always thought in the NFL, it's momentum, one way or the other, is such a big factor, more so than in any other league, and because you only have a limited amount of games.
Right.
And if you lose a game, you got to get it turned back in a hurry. But if you're on a winning streak, you want to grab as many wins as you can and keep squeezing those wins out. And the momentum can swim. Boy, you can gain confidence or lose confidence in a hurry in this league.
You know, when a defense loses a guy like Akeem Hicks, can it sharpen the focus? Can it galvanize a team? Can it bring a team or unit together? I know you don't, that's not ideal, but you have to look at it that way if you're Chuck Pagano, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? And thus far, they've had backup guys get in there and perform at a great level. Now, you know, they're not Akeem Hicks. I've said this and I believe this. Last year, Akeem Hicks, I mean, yeah, Khalil Mack was the guy, but you could have given the MVP to Akeem Hicks. I mean, I've coached Hall of Fame defensive tackles, and defensive tackles don't make plays like Akeem Hicks makes. Sacks, tackles for losses is what I'm talking about. He's not one of those big guys that uses up blocks. I mean, they'll miss him from that standpoint, but it sounds like, hearing Eddie Jackson talk, that he's around and his attitude's good, so that'll be important to help him too.
And Dave, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier in the program, and I threatened to ask you the question. When you were in Dallas, you guys really started the rotation of defensive linemen.
Yep, yep.
That was really something that began because oftentimes you were using sort of undersized guys. You were going for speed and quickness over just having the big bruising guys. And that's one of the ways that you have to replace an Akiem Hicks is getting the rotation going, getting more guys in, getting more guys right.
Absolutely. And Chuck Pagano, he's been through that. Fortunately, he knows what he has to do right there. And the Bears do have depth on the defensive line. So as difficult it is and tough a situation is, I believe that they can make it a positive. And other guys will step up too.
And we know the Pope's going for the Saints, and we know that Virginia's going for the Bears.
It's a push. Wash.
You mentioned big game
this
now.
This is the anniversary of Catholics versus convicts.
Beautiful.
Were you ever tormented by that, Dave, as a Catholic coaching convicts?
I get off the bus. I'm a Catholic. We pull up to South Bend. Obviously, I'm the defense coordinator and whatever, everything at the Hurricanes. And we're number one in the country, and I get off the bus, and I see all these T-shirts.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I started doubting whether I was a Catholic. I start saying, am I a convict?
You're a daily
crisis. Where do I fall? What category am I in here?
But, how can they do that to you?
But no, you know what? You mentioned big game I didn't realize I was talking to the Fox guys yesterday. I mean, obviously, we know it's a late game, but Aikman and the crew's coming out. I mean, Fox's A-team is coming here. So, I mean, this is from a national game. This is their number one game. This is big.
They call it must win.
Yeah, it's a big game.
I think I said biggest game.
I think you said must win.
Over a decade, since the history of the league.
You said 50 years.
In the history of the league. 100 years.
I wouldn't go that far. Come on. We got a lot of
That's
season
a little
left.
Too far.
We got a lot of
I
season
started left. With. I started with biggest game to this point. Then I went 10 years. Then I went 50. And now
did you catch what Eddie Jackson said about the game?
He said it was a big game.
He said statement game.
That's coming back.
Statement games and must win games. Eddie Jackson called it a statement.
That's coming back.
Okay.
Dustin, good to see you today.
Good to see you, Coach. I was excited when I woke up and was reminded about 10-15-88. I know exactly where I was at that moment watching that game.
Yeah, you're a Hurricane fan, aren't
Love
you?
Love the Irish.
You're a Hurricane fan, aren't you?
If I would have known you back then, I probably would have been.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well,
that's what they all say.
Last I checked, the Hurricanes had a pretty good run. Let's get to, I don't know about the
Thanks
Irish.
Thanks for being here, Dave.
Dave, always enjoy. Thank you. Let's get to Michael with the scoreboard update.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Mike Florio. ProFootballTalk.com. NBC Sports. Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day. Day by day. We get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat.
NFL Insider. Mike Florio.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. It is always a joy to talk to Mike Florio. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Morning, Mike.
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Well, we're still stinging over the various penalties that we've seen called. It's kind of ruining. I was telling David, I was doing some laundry, and I'm watching the game on Sunday, and I'm watching that Jets game, and there was like, whatever, 5 straight penalties, 6 straight penalties. I finally just got up and walked away. I couldn't stand it. It drove me nuts. I could go back and watch it, don't worry, but it bothers you.
I don't have a problem with penalties being called if penalities are happening, right? I remember when John Gruden used to be in the booth and he would come, I had too many penalties. Well, tell the players to quit grabbing face masks. And I mean, at some point you have to throw the flag. Now, getting it right is the bigger issue, and that's the bigger problem coming out of Monday night's game. And I really do think as the owners convene in Fort Lauderdale for their quarterly meetings, the time has come to invest the money necessary to have an extra member of the crew who sees what we see at home, who can bridge the gap between the officials who are trying to merely survive among the gladiators with what the rest of us are now witnessing in crystal clear HD, 4K, whatever the latest technology is that I don't even know the name of yet. But we can see it so much better than ever before. They need to help the officials, not replay review. This is a member of the crew who has the same vantage point that we do, who is talking to the referee, saying, pick up a flag, drop a flag, etc. That's what they need to do, and they need to spend the money to do it.
How do you explain last night the 2 phantom calls on Trey Flowers that in real time. Obviously, things happen fast, but his hand never actually hit the neck or the face. So I don't understand how they got it wrong not once but twice.
You know, on the first one, there is a moment where Trey Flowers pops David Bakhtiari in the face mask, but I don't know that that's what drew the flag. And then near the end, you can see that Flowers has the hand at the top of the jersey and he kind of pushes. But, you know, I just wonder whether Bakhtiari does something with his own technique to draw that, to make it look like he's got a hand in his face when he doesn't. But those are bad calls. And that's where you could have the benefit of a sky judge who could have buzzed down to Cleet Blakeman, the referee, and say, yeah, I'm looking at this now and I really don't see hand to the face. You probably should pick that flag up.
You don't want to have too knee-jerk a reaction to one game, but I was talking to a big-time NFL insider who told me that as he watched Houston and Watson against Mahomes and the Chiefs, he thought to himself, wow, you know, one guy is learning to play quarterback and the other guy is just throwing the ball with trick passes. And is it possible that Andy Reid, as much as he needs to run the ball, also needs to get back to coaching Mahomes to stay in the pocket, get his feet set, and throw a pass?
I think the problem is when Mahomes is not 100%, he has to be managed like a normal quarterback. That's when he needs to have his feet set, and he needs to throw the ball the way that we have always been taught that quarterbacks need to throw the ball in order to be the most effective. It's only when he's 100% and he can run and do all those things where he's like a shortstop on a football field. But he's banged up, and that ankle is a problem. And when that ankle is impairing him, that's when they have to reel him in. And, you know, whether it's that, whether it's trying to counter the defenses that they're now seeing, and I think it goes back to the AFC Championship game when Bill Belichick showed the rest of the league how to handle that defense. A lot of man coverage with maybe one deep safety that will shade toward a Tyreek Hill if he's in the game. But defenses have been able to slow them down. And we've seen this before with the Chiefs where they start off strong and then they hit that pothole and they lose games and they can't get out of their own way. And then it's just holding on and hoping for a playoff spot. And we'll see which way they go. But I'm shocked that they lost two games at home. And they've got a showdown with the Packers coming up on a couple of Sundays from now. And we're going to learn a lot about whether the Chiefs can rebound from this.
Mike, Zach Brown found out the hard way that Kirk Cousins not the weak link of the Vikings offense. And then he found out the Eagles no longer had a job. They cut the linebacker. Any precedent for stuff like this? And I mean, because obviously you see guys mouthing off all the time. Rarely do you see them cut for what they say.
But there had to be more that had gone on in the past, and it's possible that they just weren't happy with Zach Brown. It's possible that he was responsible for some of the blown coverages on Sunday. There was that play where Stephon Diggs was wide open for a 50-plus yard touchdown pass on the left side of the field. If you look to the other side of the field, Olabisi Johnson is even wider open than Diggs was, and maybe there were some communication issues. I just have a feeling that this was more straw that breaks the camel's back than it was, how dare you say that dumb thing you said, you're out of a job. And I have a feeling Zach Brown was already in trouble before he said the dumb thing about Kirk Cousins.
The old joke was anybody within sneezing distance of Sean McVay would get an NFL coaching job, and now Sean McVay is struggling, and his quarterback is struggling, and people are wondering what's gone wrong with the Rams?
Well, and I think two things that happened on Sunday when Jared Goff was held to 78 yards, and I thought this is a typo. There's a one, there's a two, there's a three missing from this. It was 78 yards. And the offensive line was abysmal. The 49ers pass rush is great, but also not having Todd Gurley on the field, even though Todd Gurley is no longer the workhorse that he was 2 years ago when he was the NFL's offensive player of the year. The threat of Todd Gurley, I think, makes it easier for defenses to rush the passer and drop into coverage and focus on taking away the passing game. And it showed that performance by the 49ers defense. And, you know, what I like about the 49ers, offensively, it's Kyle Shanahan and his mad scientist experiment. Defensively, it's just a bunch of guys that remind John Lynch of himself. And look at how well they have gelled over the past few years and where they are right now. But I think that had a lot to do with what went wrong with the Rams. But that was a game they had to win, right? They had extra time to get ready. They played Thursday. The 49ers played Monday. And the Rams knew their backs were against the wall. And they're at home. And it felt like, it sounded like the 49ers fans had taken over the Coliseum. And now the Rams are 3-3, and in the NFC, with so many teams above 500 in the other divisions, especially in the NFC North, where every team is at or above 500, it's going to be hard to get in as a wild card if you don't win the division. It's going to be hard to win the division when the 49ers are 5-0 and the Seahawks are 5-1 in front of you.
Mike, the Bears' defense has come back to earth a little bit. The Chiefs' offense has struggled last couple of weeks, as we pointed out. What's the best unit in the NFL?
You know, I probably the Patriots' defense right now, probably. Because their offense has been so sluggish and sputtery, and even with Tom Brady, but the defense has just clamped down on everyone. But you know what? We all want balance, and I'd say the most balanced team right now is without question the 49ers. What they're doing offensively, running the football, even with guys injured, and what they've done defensively. You know, we need to start taking this team seriously. At 5-0, they are on their way, and you know, we keep waiting for the dip. I don't think the dip is coming anytime soon.
It's interesting that it's been the year of the backup quarterback, and there have been a lot of good performances, and no one better than Teddy Bridgewater, who's coming to Chicago. But when you look at guys like Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota and Jared Goff, these are all really highly drafted, well-compensated players that have kind of hit a wall in their career. Who do you like out of that bunch?
Well, boy, that's a good question. None of them. I mean, especially at the money that was involved. You know, Jared Goff is the guy who's already gotten his second contract, and you wonder whether for the second straight year the Rams are going to regret giving one of their key offensive players a huge contract. They surely regret the Todd Gurley deal, and maybe they'll regret the Goff deal. But, you know, I think that maybe Jameis Winston, you know, he's going to be good for one of those what the hell is he doing games out of every five or six. I just don't think you can iron that out of him, even with Bruce Arians. But if Arians keeps working on him, maybe they can turn this thing around. Mariota got benched. I think Mariota's done. The one guy who has, I think, a chance next year is Winston, maybe on a short-term deal. Peter King pointed this out earlier today on PFT Live. Short-term bridge type of a contract while they figure out what they're going to do. Are they going to continue with Jameis Winston? Almost like the deal that the Jaguars tried to do with Blake Bortles, and they realized after one more year, okay, we shouldn't have done the deal. Let's move on. I feel like something like that could work to keep Winston in Tampa, because it's not like there's going to be a land rush for Winston or Mariota if either is available after the season.
Has Kyle Allen been good enough for the Panthers to consider trading Cam Newton?
I don't know about trading Cam Newton. Look, because Kyle Allen could get injured at any moment. I think that if you're the Panthers, when Cam Newton is truly 100%, and he's got to prove it to me that he's 100%, because he was concealing the extent of his injury early this year, and he's probably getting antsy while he watches Kyle Allen win football games, and he may be trying to push himself back prematurely. Once he's 100%, because when he's 100%, he's better than Kyle Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Once he convinces me he's 100%, I put him on the field, and then I no longer worry about, Cam might get injured, because I feel like they're always in that angst of, we can't run him, he might get injured. Hey, if he gets injured, we got Kyle Allen. So let's go let this guy be 2015 Cam, Superman, and do what he can do, and whatever he can do, he does, and if he gets injured, we go back to Kyle Allen. And I think that's the best way to play it, because you've got him under contract this year, you've got him under contract next year, maybe you make a decision after this year what you're going to do, and they can always trade him after the season. I just think for now, It's better to have Cam Newton on the team than not on the team. And also on the fly during a season, I don't even know who would trade for Cam Newton. I don't know. I'd have to sit down and look at every depth chart and ask myself, is this team better by trading for Cam Newton, and would they give up what the Panthers would want for him? And maybe you trade him after the year, but for now, get him healthy, and once he's healthy, put him on the field, and then just go aggressively, because you no longer have to worry about what happens if Cam gets injured.
Mike, thank you. Always a joy. And we want to tell you that you're a great influence on us, because our producer, Dustin Rhodes, is now reading I Hear You Paint Houses. And I believe that's the first time he's read a non-sports book since graduate school.
Wow. Impressive.
Yeah, you're making impressive. It happen in many ways. Thanks,
Mike.
I'm going to go paint my house.
Oh, my God.
Not that way. See ya.
All right, Mike. That's Mike Florio. What a good man.
Good stuff.
He's, how about that? Positive influence on Dustin.
Yeah. Hey, we'll take it.
Yeah. Recommending the Jimmy Hoffa book.
Wow.
Dustin is reading first book he's read since graduate school.
Did you hear Mike Florio say that Marcus Mariota is done?
Yeah. That was pretty interesting.
Well, he was drafted in 2015.
Who?
He was drafted second overall in 2015.
Remind me, what team wanted to move up and take him?
Just saying, done?
Remind me, what team wanted to move up and
take him? I think that would be the Chicago Bears.
Okay.
A lot of bad quarterbacks drafted second overall going around lately.
Well, I'm just wondering if that's the guy that you singled out as the savior of the franchise and you couldn't get him, and then you signed Mike Glennon and you drafted Mitch, should we talk? It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.